Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, as always, Alex Newell, and with me for yet another exciting adventure, I have
Lydia Nicholas,
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
James Ross.
And who are you playing quickly?
Sasha Rackett, the sneaky stabby one.
Zolf, the healy miracle-y one.
Hamid, the physically and emotionally battered one.
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, the best one.
And before we start, I need to give a quick shout out. I actually got given a guest spot on a Let's Play channel. Really? So if anyone gets a moment to check out an episode of the Happy-Go-Lucky Scamps, they play games and
they sound like fun.
They're fun chaps.
Is it cheery?
It's positively cheery.
Is it perky? Is it jolly?
It's all of those things. And I believe by the end of that episode, we may have accidentally created a new Batman villain who was on the scale of the Borrowers.
Right.
Very strange.
So Ant-Man kind of nemesis.
Oh, all of his enemies
Man
were
Ant,
Borrowers.
Presumably, that size.
But yeah, just do check out. They're on YouTube. They've got a decent number of videos up there, and they're eager for more, so give them a check. So, as a recap from what happened most recently, the party have been chasing down what happened to the simulacrum and got sent back down to the London to find out what had happened to the people who had messed around with it. You had a run-in with Sasha's old friends, which could have gone worse, although led Hamid to have a little bit of an awkward moment. And then we powered on towards the compound. And we have been in the compound, we've found a trap or two, and are currently engaged in combat with the people who you tracked down.
We recognised them and everything.
You recognised on sight. And on the way, of course, you took out some guards using some clever statuesque tactics.
So brilliant.
And had a little bit of...
I use my natural cunning.
And some silver paint.
Yes.
When those two go together, Bertie's a happy man. And
that's all the weapons he needs.
We had
the armour and the swords.
We had a bit of a hairy moment with Zolf, where it turns out that Zolf's a big fan of just eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So what's going to happen?
Drowning
an eye, drowning a tooth, just holding them underneath the water so they stop breathing.
So we'll have to see how that plays out once you guys have dealt with these fighters. And I must say that given that you last session were hitting criticals left, right and centre and removing them in a single turn,
definitely,
which by
center,
the way was astonishing.
both Sasha and Bertie did critical hits and did immense amounts of damage. I completely failed every roll and lost a spell to no effect.
And I'm not even at the fight yet.
You had a brilliant move.
I did.
Your move was brilliant.
That was some good four squares.
It was pretty good. It was a sachet, which is difficult to do when you've got a peg leg.
No, well done.
So, I believe at this stage, it is the dog's turn. The Bertie just annihilated someone.
Yeah.
The dog hears that something's happening. It proceeds to run 5, 10, 15, 20... 25, past the doorway and round the corner to see what the noise is. I fear you may have picked the worst of the two dogs to be your best friend. Zolf, you have line of sight through Bertie's legs, although I'm going to be honest, that might be a bit of a tall order for a shot. I might have to up the AC of whoever you're firing at if you choose
the
to.
The doors, are they double doors? As in, are they 10 foot wide? You said they were barn door size.
They are... double doors, but they're only one of them is open, so there is a 5-foot door open.
In which case, would it be acceptable for me to walk 5 up to the door and then a 5 diagonal in?
I will allow that, that's fine, because the door is freely swinging, it's just not currently...
Right. Also, Bertie would have moved forward in his slashing thing, he's not going to go behind the whole 5-foot in depth of the square.
Exactly, yeah. You're absolutely fine.
Yeah, cool. Okay, lovely. In which case, I will do that, and then I will fire an icicle.
I should remind listeners, by the way, there is currently a corpse in front of Bertie, a
two half corpses. The space in front of Bertie is empty. There's half a corpse in front of Hamid to Bertie's left, and half a corpse in front of Zolf to Bertie's right.
Two corpses. I don't know how the grammar works.
I'm assuming mechanically it's like two small corpses.
Oh yes, it's two corpses of small creatures who happen to be half a person.
Yes.
And there is someone guarding apparently the entrance to the steeple. Off to one side, and the caster, who is currently flat on his back in the doorway to upstairs, and Sasha's still in the stairway, but ready to come down.
We probably can't see her, to be fair.
Oh, no, you wouldn't know.
Shadow!
Although he did fall over with bleeding...
We assume.
...shoulder blades.
You can infer. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence.
So I'm going to walk in.
As he lies there yelling, oh my god, that young girl stabbed me in the back, what the heck?
I'm going to walk in, clock that guy has one of those fire bombs, and continue to walk forward, thus removing the big clump of bad people.
Wise.
Just, like, shield up, shield ready. That's me.
So, the first one who came down is dead. Properly dead. In bits. Sasha, you are now leading the turn.
Does somebody prone count as flanked? Or are they just flat-footed?
I mean, being prone does lower an ace. Does lower your
AC.
Let's
put it this way. He's certainly easier to hit, but I just...
He's already taken a lot of damage as well.
What... Is it mechanically possible for me to duck out of the stairwell, throw a dagger at this dude, and then duck back into the stairwell?
This is heading into one of those GM things. This has happened quite a lot.
Because this is me taking basically, like, I mean, I assume it's like a 5 foot step or whatever, but there's no attack of opportunity. He is, for the listeners at home, he is, 10 foot away from me?
In range, he's fine.
A prone character takes a bonus to AC against range attacks.
Yeah, because they
obviously... But it's that dude that I want to throw things at. The guy that's got...
She wants to lean over the prone one.
I want to lean over the prone one.
This is going to be a slightly... house rule-y one, but I've played with this before and it seemed to work quite well. I was once playing a game with a sniper rogue, archer, but still a sniper, and there are rules regarding cover and total cover and leaning out and blah, 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 and it starts to feel a bit broken.
Right.
So what I've tended to do in the past, and obviously, listeners, if you have any better versions of this, do write in and let me know. I genuinely am trying to get better at what I'm doing. What I've seen work in the past is that in a full turn... You can lean out from cover, sort of around a corner, get off a shot, and then return to cover. That
right.
I don't think it's spelled out in the rules that that is a full turn action. It's more like, from cover you can do this. If you do this, then blah, blah. But a simple version is, if you are from cover and want to get a shot off and get back, I will just say that takes a full turn, no moving, you get one attack. Okay? What I would say is that currently... You're still up the stairs a bit because there were two people between you, so you would need to move to get into that position.
Okay.
So you could certainly get round the side and get a shot off,
but you wouldn't be able
to do your sort of poke out, shoot, and poke back until next turn.
Consider, though, if he throws a thing, he's just likely to hit his mate.
If he was to throw it at you, he would be hitting himself and the caster and you.
No, I get that he's probably going to throw it at those dudes, the gang of people, but it is not a very me thing to do to go out and just stab him. Like,
you would be trying to share a space with someone who's currently prone, who would obviously get a bit shirty at that.
Yeah,
so
quite possibly
that'd be quite
nibble at my ankles. Okay,
my suggestion is stay in cover at the bottom of the stairs, and you'll be threatening the prone guy.
Yeah, so if I stay there, and lean out and throw a. I think I might throw the vial of fire stuff, actually.
Again, is it that you want us to be ready so that next turn you can throw it out? Because you couldn't throw it out and duck back in this time.
I think I will just throw it and I will stay.
You couldn't throw it from within that doorway unless you took a whole turn, is what I'm saying. Very often as a rogue, you will catch yourself readying and holding actions.
Yep, okay.
I strongly recommend holding your action because... He's going to get a shot off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can just go, he's got his shot off. Great. I'm going to lean out and
that sounds good. And also those guys aren't in a big huddle, so they will not necessarily all be smashed with 6 damage as happened last time.
Yeah, exactly.
That I didn't take a
so
shot that I could.
I wouldn't... This for all listeners, it's good to remember that holding your action can sometimes feel like you're passing. Like, I don't know what to do. Actually, what you're really doing is... Technically speaking, this is all sort of happening simultaneously.
Right.
It's waiting for an opportune moment, and especially as a rogue, if you're not holding your action and readying actions, you're going to be finding it really quite difficult.
Okay, so that's what I do.
Sure, and that's genuinely, it's probably the best thing right now.
For my understanding, I'm now standing there with my thing drawn, ready to throw.
Next turn.
Gotcha.
Once it comes round, or if a different thing comes up, because you've held your action, you've not readied it. Because if you readied it, you know, certain conditions have to be met.
Right.
So, Hamid.
Hamid does hold his action.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a tactical reason, but because he's trying to desperately pull himself together. He can either just go outside and, you know, cry, or he can stay here, take a few deep breaths and try to be useful again.
Things have gotten very real, haven't they?
He's struggling a bit, but I'm going to hold my action.
Okay.
And see if he manages to pull himself together a bit.
In which case, the one who's wielding a flask sees what happened to his friend and disappears up the steeple. The one who is prone on the floor doesn't see this currently. The one who is on the floor takes stock of the situation. Looks to the right, sees one of his people down. Looks to the left, sees Sasha quite literally over him in a very menacing way, and he's already been stabbed in the back. He then casts a spell that he was going to cast before.
He will have to cast defensively or trigger an attack of opportunity.
He will have to cast defensively. So first thing that he will do is make his concentration check. So he failed his defensive concentration check.
Stabby, stabby!
I will stab. Stab.
So, yeah, go for a stab.
Do I really need to roll to hit?
You quickly fail.
One, you might drop your dagger on him, mm-hmm. and it'll still do damage.
19.
And also you can roll a critical.
You've threatened a critical! I want you to know, this person's scary. He's not coming across that way, but this person is actively scary.
You spent a lot of time giving him really scary possibilities.
He just needs one to get off one spell. That's all I need.
Should we confirm it and finish him off?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
You might, in mind he's flat-footed, doesn't get any
he's
of
He's not
stuff.
Flat-footed, he's prone, which is a -4 to his AC.
It is not enough.
Okay, fair enough.
But I hit him.
You definitely hit him, but you don't do what you did before and get all of the damage in the world.
Right.
So you still get your D4.
Yep.
But you
Yeah,
will
like, I'm
be
not going to kill him with the D4. But
you never know.
Not at all.
One.
Okay, that's
minus
fine.
One.
Zero.
I do no damage. With a critical. I rolled a 19.
I'll point out, you have, however,
I, have
on your
did a,
own,
I did a lot
your,
of damage.
Your,
it was fun.
You're very. You're certainly catching up on Bertie, who now has to find another enemy. You just stretched it out. It's very different.
Yeah. He still has to make a concentration check or lose the spell.
He does.
But the DC will not be very high since he took zero damage.
And a bit of a spoiler, his concentration check's formidable. He just rolled very poorly.
1-1-1.
Oh! No! I kind of, like, now I'm sort of almost regretting that I'm not going to get to see whatever scary stuff this dude can do.
No, once it happens, you'll definitely regret it.
But like, when we were, the people that we lost to terribly were just gutter rats that just kept stabbing us
outnumbered.
Slightly.
You were massively outnumbered. Actually, in Pathfinder, mechanically, it's worth noting that when you're building encounters, we will spend eventually some metacasts we've got planned out for how you GM, how you build these encounters, things like that. Outnumbered matters a lot. It actually ups the difficulty of the scenario disproportionately. So two weak people are actually better than one person who is of the slightly better level than they are, because you just it's about that difference in turns. You take a turn, they take five. It really starts to mount up very quickly.
Yeah. But I just mean we didn't get to see them do explosive, exciting things.
The good news is, if he's a prepared spellcaster, he now can't cast that spell anyway, because he's expended the spell energy for zero effect.
So he didn't get his spell off.
If he's a spontaneous caster, he's just lost a slot, and it's not such a
He waves his hands around and then...
His spell is, sleeves fall down.
Bertie, you're up.
Oh. Right, so the chaps escaped up the steeple, the one who was standing up.
Mm-hmm.
Can I charge the prone man?
Okay. You can absolutely charge the prone man.
So I could charge the prone man, or I could charge up the steeple stairs.
Charge requires a straight line.
Straight line, okay.
Across undamaged terrain.
In that case, I'm going to charge the prone man. I'm going to charge the defenceless man lying down.
Nice.
Who's just failed to do magic properly.
That's true. I was going to say, you have to be able to charm prone people, otherwise that would be an amazing thing of, oh no, a bear might charge me. I fall over.
Just be still. Yeah. Just be still.
I'm not
going
to charge you.
Yeah. All right. If he's prone, can I also power attack him?
Yes.
Oh, God.
No, we need to know things from this guy.
Well, you could take a penalty to
hit. He probably won't critical.
To then do non-lethal. So it'd be hitting him with the flat of your blade.
That's not very Bertie, though, is it?
Not really. Can I maybe like hack off a leg or something?
Just roll it.
Okay,
attack,
really.
See what happens.
Right.
So I do want to power attack him.
Okay,
still.
That's okay. Fine.
That's, that
so
is that is
going
what
for broke.
Do.
That's fine.
Yep. 12 plus my attack bonus, which is 6, but it's 5 because it's a power attack.
Plus 2 for charging.
19 total.
Yes,
that is a hit.
Yep, good. So, now what am I rolling?
D10 and damage.
D10 plus 5.
D10 plus 5. 4, 9, 9 damage.
9 damage, okay.
It's 18 so far.
19 so far.
Okay.
And he is not down.
Yeah, he is. He's prone.
Well,
what?
He doesn't appear to be dead. Let's say that.
Bertie charges over to him and just kicks him. Just kicks him really, really, really hard, but like with his sword.
At this point, I will use my held action.
Yep, you insert, that's fine.
Hamid is struggling through the vomit. to do something helpful, but spots that this guy is still moving and knows just how scary spellcasters can be. So he casts Magic Missile.
Okay.
3 damage.
Okay. He takes that damage, and Alex looks smug and doesn't say anything. Cool. And isn't desperately covering because his boss is quite near death at this point. Ah, the dog.
Da-da-da.
Was a traitor all along.
Brutor. Yeah, he's their fifth columnist.
Brutor. I like that one. That was a historical one. Okay, so 5, 10, 15, 20, 30. Comes in. Comes into the church. Figures out how doors work.
The dog has, so, come through. Dog has worked out how the door works, i.e. has walked through the open smash door.
Yes, yes.
It's not that much of a challenge.
How apertures work.
Yeah.
Now, beside Bertie, so we've got Bertie overlooking a prone enemy, a dog overlooking a prone enemy, Sasha overlooking a prone enemy, an enemy who is quite beaten up. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Zolf, you are up.
Excellent. 1, 2. Do I have an okay line of sight to this guy?
Over the dog. Quite a short dog.
Technically, here's a fun one. The enemy counts as in melee because they are basically adjacent to 3 people. So they are in melee. So you'll be taking penalties for it being in melee. And also because you'll be shooting over the dog, you will actually be taking a penalty for that as well.
If it's a ranged touch, does that do anything?
It makes
you take
it
the same penalty, easier but to his do, AC is lower.
But you take the penalty.
Also remember, he gets a bonus to AC against ranged attacks.
Isn't your weapon a long weapon?
I could try and prod him with the trident, but over the dog.
If you're doing it non-lethally, do you have to do it with the wrong end?
Yes.
That.
Doink, doink. No, I think in which case, this guy, I mean, it looks like they've probably got this. So I'm going to start walking. I get
Haven't
to the door of the stairs. Yes,
so this is
my double move. I have to basically use a double move at all times, yeah. Is the sad thing.
At which point, the one on the ground... I surrender. I surrender. Yeah. I have surrendered.
Can I lean in and put a knife to his throat?
It is currently your turn. Yeah. You're in combat unless you... I mean, this is a bit vague in the rules, but I will assume you're in combat until you guys tell me otherwise, or there's no way that combat can happen.
In which case, can I do a free speaky action?
Sure.
And shout out the stairs, your boss has just surrendered. You should probably do the same.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean in and put a knife to this guy's throat and say, hold his hands! It's magic and stuff.
Very
the magical one.
I think Bertie... Did this guy look like very, very obviously dangerously magic? Does he have an obvious air of menace?
Why don't you all give me a perception check now that you can examine the person properly?
9.
Yep, definitely a person.
Bryn?
24.
Mm-hmm.
16. 16, yeah. Zolf's so currently keeping an eye on the stairs.
With my perception roll, I can't tell if it's a man lying down or a shorter man.
In fairness, you can discern everything that you've already discerned.
Yeah, yeah.
Hamid, you are
about
further away.
Away. Yeah.
I'd say that you discern that this person seems to have... that they seem something seems off, you can't really place it, and you're not really in the right headspace. Sasha... you can discern that the person, unless they tried to sort of cast a spell or something, there's not really anything that they can do. You have knife to throw 2 other people. Admittedly, one of them's a dog who's licking his boots. But you've kind of got this person pretty heavily pinned. It doesn't look like they're about to, you know, sweep into a rage and go, ha ha, here's my 16 other arms and 15 daggers and blah. Like, it doesn't seem like it'd go that way.
I am not familiar with magic, so that would seem like something that is plausible to Sasha.
Sure. You were saying?
Yeah, I think Bertie is still quite suspicious of this chap. And I think he would like to withdraw his secondary weapon, his rapier, which is quite a thin instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Take the chap's right hand and just smash the rapier through it and pin it to the floor.
Oh, Bertie!
He's not going to be casting any spells at me.
You'd be better off just knocking him out.
But then we want to question him.
Make the call. If you want to do that, that's fine. However, it will count as an attack and he is hardly going to lie there and go, yep, you just go ahead.
Stab me
through
the
hand. That's a price I'm willing to pay.
Yeah, okay, good point. Oh, would Bertie care? No, Bertie is going to withdraw the rapier and stab him through the hand and try and pin him to the floor.
Okay, then give me an attack roll.
15. My attack bonus to the rapier is 5. So that's 20.
Okay, it counts as a hit. What was the damage?
I need to roll that. A d6 plus 3.
Mm. Okay.
1. So it's for 4.
For 4? Okay. Because the guy's struggling, you don't manage to pin his hand to the ground. He takes another hit to his hand, which is looking a bit messed up. But honestly, to pin him to the floor and to drive a rapier into solid stone, or at the very least between the cracks of the stone, you're going to need to do significantly better than that.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to say that you guys are out of combat time now because, frankly, he's not going anywhere.
Okay, what's going on with the guy who ran off up the steeple?
You don't know, yeah. So, well...
No one knows.
Yes. You guys got this?
I'm kneeling. I've got one leg on the dude's upper arm because he's on the ground, and then I've got a knife under his throat and I'm holding his hair. So he's like freaking pinned, so he can't use an arm to spell.
So have you guys got this?
I look and I nod, but that's, you know.
I'm right. I will start heading upstairs.
I'm going to run over to join Zolf.
Okay, you start heading up the stairs.
All the while going, he's surrendered. We'll let you live if you do the same.
Okay. You head up to the stairs and encounter a closed door.
Why don't you come out and we can talk?
No answer.
Try and open the door.
Okay. The door's unlocked. You do so.
And I will leap back down the stairs.
Sure.
Through Hamid.
So... You hear this? Hamid sees Zolf just run back down the stairs.
No. I throw myself backwards.
Oh, you literally just...
Well, because I've got a peg leg.
Okay.
I can't move fast.
Fair point. You hear it... At which point... Everyone give me a reflex save.
Yes!
Oh, gosh. 19.
Mm-hmm.
15.
22.
8.
Okay.
Oh dear.
But once, everyone apart from Sasha...
With my bonus.
Yeah, you just...
I'm just enjoying Sasha's having just the power over this dude for so long. So much that I just don't notice. So, like, yeah, I've got a knife at your throat. Yeah.
At which point, there is an enormous explosion. Apparently directly overhead. And with that, parts of the ceiling start to give way above you. And I'm going to take a break there and I'm going to see what happens after that.
Oh, hi. It's great to see you again. Hamid, no, of course you remember. You're looking well. It is a new cravat. Thank you. Aren't you sweet to notice? Oh, you must come and join us in the forum sometime. You can find it through the website, rustyquill.com. Yeah, I think the red here tastes a bit corked, don't you think? Anyway, you can get all the backstage gossip, the behind-the-scenes info. Be great to chat to you some more.
Hamid, what are you talking to that greasy little oik for? It's your round.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, Bertie and Zolf and Sasha, they'll be there too. But anyway, it'd be lovely to talk to you some more. I'll hopefully see you soon.
Hamid, I shall have the bottom half of the list this time, I think.
Well, Mustache, nice to see you.
And welcome back. So, yeah, the ceiling appears to give a bit of a judder, and bits of it start to fall down. Everyone who is on that floor takes 1d6 plus 2 damage. However... All of you made your reflex saves to avoid said damage, apart from Sasha. So I'm rolling just for Sasha.
And the prone chat, surely.
Yep, and the prone chat.
Okay.
Both of them take... 7.
This is what happens if I let any of you actually do anything!
So, there's a big roar, and then chunks of masonry start falling down.
I'm tied up for 1 second.
To clarify, it doesn't seem like the whole building's coming down on top of you guys. But certainly, bits of it start falling, masonry hurtling towards the ground, a couple dings off Bertie. Hamid, seeing it, manages to sort of keep out of the way. Thankfully, when Zolf threw himself back, he kind of knocked Hamid as well, and Zolf pretty much landed on Hamid and was taking most of the hits, but happened to just manage to avoid anything big. Sasha, in the stairwell to the upper thing, pretty much the stairwell collapses inwards, and it doesn't bury her.
No.
But she gets pushed out pretty much on top of the prone guy, who's also taken some chunks of masonry.
Yep.
He's actually under a small pile of it. And
we take a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
Bertie, drag him outside!
Yeah.
I'm going to help Zolf up and try and help him move that tiny little bit more quickly,
yep,
whilst we retreat into the safer section of the church and possibly exit by, yeah, the same door.
Bertie is going to pull the prone man out by the hand that he savaged, pulling him along, uh-huh, the ground like that.
So as you reach down, it becomes clear that the person's unconscious. You don't know if they're stable or not because you're not trained in that kind, yep, of thing. But yeah, you drag them. Did you say they drag him outside or just to the far end of the church?
Bertie is going to pull him out of the falling down building.
Sure.
Just outside, just on
the steps. So Bertie pulls him out of the falling down building. We won't fret with the battle map anymore.
Okay, cool.
We're out of combat. Anyone else?
We'll head that way as well, but obviously we're slower. Because I'm staying next to Zolf, mm-hmm, to help him.
I throw myself down the staircase. Is there an upper floor left?
Looking up, it looks like they've tried to do what they did with the simulacrum, which is someone's trying to get in, you blow out all of the staircases to buy yourself some time. The steeple staircase appears to have sort of caved in on itself, and the stairway to the second floor also seems to have caved in. It doesn't look like there's been a massive, enormous nuclear explosion, and it's all, you know, gone off and destroyed enormous amounts.
So assumedly this guy has, unless there's another way out, trapped themselves up the steeple.
Presumably.
Cool. Are there, although I'm assuming there's quite a lot of sawdust and splinters just lying around, bits like that?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to use Spark to set one of those piles alight and burn him out.
Okay.
And that's when I say set one of them alight, it's one of the upper ones, not something on our level. So beyond the gap.
What's the range on?
It's 25 foot plus 5 per caster level, so a lot.
No, that's fine, yeah. It begins smouldering upstairs.
Yeah, so I've 30 foot range. So
there doesn't seem to be any cries from upstairs.
Yeah, say it's on a fine object. It's like a flint and steel, effectively. So I can set kindling on fire. I can't just go, oh, there's a huge fire. So that might catch, that might not. I don't know.
Sure. Certainly it begins to smoulder.
Cool. And then I will turn and come back down the stairs. Mm-hmm.
That's fine. So you all head outside. Uh-huh. Do you stabilise or not stabilise the person who's currently unconscious outside?
Is he bleeding?
You'd have to do a heal check.
That is 17.
He is. If you don't stabilise him, he will die.
Stabilise.
Okay.
I am going to grab Sasha, yes, and ask her to come with me, and so we can move around, basically, to this monitor the steeple and the upper floors.
I'm
if she comes.
I'm going to ignore you.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm going to climb up to that window,
sure,
so I can see what's up.
Yeah, sure.
That's the way.
I will go around and watch the outside of the building from the other end.
Okay, Sasha, give me a climb check.
Oh, another 20. Oof. I get them when I don't need them. Okay, plus four.
Both of you give me perception checks.
What do you mean, don't need them? You've got one where you stabbed the boss in the back.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I meant that, like, I have just had a lot of rocks on me. Sure. I would have, if I could have split that. That's true. I did
You'd have taken more damage plummeting from a rooftop or from a wall than you would have done.
Okay, I take that back. I get criticals and they're lovely.
13?
Oh, mine is then 25.
So you head round, I'll deal with Hammond first, heads around and sees that the steeple, yeah, appears to have caved in, as has most of the building at that end. They very clearly done exactly what they did with the simulacrum, yeah, and just blown out any way of people following them up there. You, Sasha, climbing up, see that the smouldering is just beginning to catch. It's right at the end that sort of, mm-hmm, collapsed in. And it's right near some barrels, mm-hmm, and it's just beginning to sort of smoulder. You also see, as you do a quick cast around, what looks like the tip of someone's clothing or something just sweeping over the roof above you, directly above you.
Ah! Roof battle! Okay, I keep going, I climb further up.
You climb up onto the roof?
Yeah! I should have taken some feats for this.
The person up top turns around and sees you. You are now stood at opposite ends of the rooftop. It's lead tile.
Oh,
it's a
slippery.
Little bit slippy because, I mean, the roof's a little bit leaky and it's kind of muggy next to the Thames, especially in such a closed area. You can see for a distance around you over the side of the compound.
Yep.
And he's there at the other end, wielding an oil flask,
yep,
backed up against the edge of the at the edge of the building, yep, and he sees you. And doesn't say anything. He's just stood there, sword in scabbard. Sorry, it's not drawn, but with the oil flask in his hand.
Mate, come down. We won't hurt you. We know it was the other guy that's the boss. Like, he's the one that started all this. Like, there doesn't need to be anything bad.
Does Bertie overhear this?
Give me a perception check.
And it's probably diplomacy.
One definitely doesn't.
No, so I don't normally like to do this, but it feels quite nice. So while you're having this, you know, epic rooftop discussion, which could end in blood, death, and tears,
yeah,
there's Bertie just How do you like that? How do you like that there?
Haven't you, sir? Haven't you? God, I'm just slapping him about. Really.
Leave him alone. He's had enough, all right?
No, he hasn't. Look at him. He twitched. Look, it was a really menacing twitch.
I'm still trying to get to a position where I can see. I probably have overheard with
you,
my previous perception.
You overheard that Sasha said something. You can't hear what, and you can't see up. Like, the guy's not overhanging.
No, there's some voice.
Then. Yeah, I'm going to back up a bit to somewhere where I might have a chance of seeing what's going on. I probably can't, but I'm going to try.
Okay, so the guy's there, backed up, right up against the side. Right,
I do have a diplomacy modifier of minus one.
If you want to talk him down, give me the roll and then try to talk him down. As in, like, that was just a quick...
Yeah, like...
But if you want to give it a solid go, give me the roll and then we can do it.
Like, mate, you've got nowhere to go.
Give me the roll first.
Oh, sorry.
That die is clearly weighted.
So what we're going to do is we're going to quietly give that die to someone else for a little while, and you're going to use this die. We're just going to do a little experiment in probability.
That's not how that works.
But that was a natural 20 on Sasha's diplomacy.
Oh my god! Mate, like, I know what it's like. All right, I've been there. I've been in places where I get in situations that I didn't choose, right? Sometimes the guys that have power, they've got you from the start and you don't know what's going on. You don't need to end this jumping off a roof for someone else's battle, mate. I know, just come down. It's a bit awkward, but it is heartfelt.
Here's the thing, like, even the worst character can have a moment of inspiration or, like, a real heartfelt go at it. So, yeah, that's just...
She's not the worst character.
No, that's what I'm pointing to. If you're not the worst, then yeah, like, it's a solid attempt.
I roll 19 to overhear that.
You
not for any reason, just so I can...
You hear the speech.
Just, it touches me.
Do your big soulful eyes leak a tear?
Yes. I'd say a single manly tear, but that's a clear lie.
Bertie's just there thinking back over his favourite birthdays.
So the guy up at the top goes, right. Alright, what you want's up on the second floor, right, it's under a crate. Jeremy, he took the plans, right? We've only got the notebook. We ain't got anything else, okay? You can let me, like, I get it, okay? But we both know, right, if I turn myself in, that ain't going to go well. Let's be honest. I ain't going to be turning myself into other London. It'll be Upper London that have me. Tell you what, okay? You just let me go, okay? You've got her. Okay, you've got whatever you came for. Okay, you can just let me go. I ain't gonna hurt anyone. He literally, as he's saying that, pulls out his scabbarded sword, lays it on the table. Lays it on the rooftop in front of you. Pulls out another dagger, lays it on the rooftop in front of you. Takes off a bandolier of these oil fast, lays it on the table.
Ooh, all, such a
thing. all he's holding is the one oil flask, and he's like. Just insurance, you know how this works. You know you can let me go.
All right, mate, if there's any traps in here you haven't told us about, if there's anything, right, because I recognise this guy, right?
He's someone that you've seen around. He probably spent a bit of time with, like, doing some...
With the gang.
Consult work for the rackets and stuff. Yeah. Nothing, like, in and deep.
Right. If I find that you're messing with us, I will find you. You've seen what I can do. There's a little grin. My critical stabs.
I'm not an idiot. Who goes against the rackets? Am I right?
Yeah, who does?
Well, like I said, just let me go and don't try and open the door to the hut.
All right. Right. So you climb down the back of this building and I'll keep the big guy off you. Oh. I'll give you 10 minutes.
He sees, hesitates for a moment, pockets the oil flask and then jumps from the roof across... Hamid, you've done perception checks earlier. You see someone leap across the gap and down one floor, down onto the roof of the hut, and then obviously is out of your vision again.
I've heard what Sasha's been saying. I'll run to where I can at least see him, but I'm not going to chase him.
Okay.
I just want to monitor.
So yeah, you try as best as you can. By the time you get round, you see a person leaping bodily from that rooftop out over the wall, which wasn't enormously high. And then he's gone on the other side of the wall.
Fair.
You hear a splash on the other side.
Yeah. I go and pocket the stuff.
Sure. There were two more oil flasks.
Yay.
Again, they're not splash, they're just direct hit ones.
I am in the state impressed, given that jump. But yeah, so that's me. And then I'll come and rejoin them. So I come over to that end of the roof and I shout down, it's on the second floor, the one you just set on fire.
You didn't know that.
The one that they've set on fire. What idiots they are.
No. Oh, darn. And I'll stump off quickly. I will hurry through the church and up to the staircase.
Through the destroyed staircase?
No, up to the bottom of the staircase.
Sure.
And then I'll cast Create Water, which has a range of exactly the same as Spark.
Very nice.
I did when he said it was Buddy, said there's a crate. I was like, oh, flick through my spells. Oh, there it is. There it is. Woo!
Okay, yeah, you.
A gallon of water,
you
basically.
You just see Zolf. Dash off.
It looks like a normal person's walking pace.
You summon the water pretty much over the smouldering pile. It was clear, given time, it would have caught the whole lot. Yeah, you put it out, it's gone.
Okay, false alarm. I put out their fire.
You said that fire, didn't you? I give the unconscious man another kick.
Hey, might not have been him. Could have been the other guy.
That's a point. Where's he gone?
Saw you cast Spark, right?
You can have done. I wasn't being secret.
Yeah. He was with you. You get to make the call whether you say.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bertie asked a question.
He got away. It was quite a jump. That was one day I'll be able to jump like that down onto buildings.
You know what, genuinely, yeah. Like, from a professional standpoint, that person was good. Like, they were good at what the kind of things that you are good at.
Mm. Like, I'm in the state impressed.
Yeah, proper professional.
Maybe a bit of a crush, you know? We had a face off over a rooftop.
I'm
going to
be honest.
Moving.
He wasn't ugly.
Mm.
He wasn't ugly.
Episode 15, we've not had a single romantic subplot yet, apart from the odd bit of like eyes meeting across a crowded.
As far
sewer.
As you know.
As far as, oh.
Hey, it was you and the dog. Come on.
Say again?
That was a That's friendship. True. That was love at first sight.
Oh, at which point the dog comes out and begins to just kind of lick the boot, continuing to lick the boot of the unconscious man.
Bertie's not having that. He's not having this dog fraternising with the enemy.
You can give me your first handle animal to train it not to lick enemies' boots.
Would that be? Cause I've read a bit of the handle animal. Is that like a skill that he then has permanently? Does that take up like a skill slot of the animal? Or?
I'll allow him to have it as a bonus. Not
fine.
He can learn just no like, more attacks because of the boot licking.
Just not being embarrassingly disloyal in public.
I think
we make it.
Usually, people assume that the animals come from a base level of competence. So I think build him up to that point, and then you'll start
not
using
a basic level of competence.
Yeah. Okay, this is a very foolish dog whose only talent is dribbling and missing doors.
Oh, he was clearly on board because he was big by someone who went, I've got a dog, can I join? Like,
yeah.
There's nothing more to it than that.
Okay, fair enough. So, handle animal, yeah, that is plus six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
8 plus 6, 14. 14?
It stops, but kind of get the impression that you're going to have to do a bit more work on this.
And also, quickly clarify, so the two people we saw at Edison's were Captain Bisection and the unconscious guy, yes?
Yes.
So not that one.
The third one was not
fine
at all at the simulacrum.
Mass murder not confirmed.
And also was the one that Sasha had a vague memory of seeing around other London. Okay. But, like, you don't have any backstory. You couldn't say that where he hung out or anything like that.
I'm trying to remember, though.
I was just gauging my reaction to him getting away.
Sure.
But he wasn't, you know, one of the two, so. Right, so, I get to make good on my part of the deal. He goes in the Thames.
Oh, but Captain Haringey said we should bring them back alive if at all possible. Oh. That was our contract, Zolf.
Yeah. Oh. All right.
And one of them already died. Isn't that enough retribution?
Okay, so, right.
Shouldn't we question him first, either way?
Okay. Just saying, right? Poseidon ain't going to see it that way. I might hurt for this. But you're right, it's in our contract, and I can't go back on that. Otherwise, what kind of mercenary would I be? So, yes, we'll take him back to Haringey.
So, we should find out what else is in the compound. Sasha, are you okay? You're coming down?
Oh, I forgot. She said there was something under a crate. I can't get up there. Darn it.
I'm still sitting on the roof. I'm having a bit of a, like, that was such a good jump.
Are you still a bit starstruck?
That is the sort of thing that Sasha finds impressive. But now, I suppose, hearing you shout up, I'll go in through the window. Useless, muttering about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, get in the doors exploded. I have to do everything, like through the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I am looking for the notebook that he mentioned that mm-hmm. was by the crate.
Sure.
I am checking for traps, I guess, as I go, but only slightly because they were living here. So.
I'll skip ahead. I could get you to roll. Some GMs would. It's not worth the time. When you get in the room, you first get a very clear sense of what trap they had set earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's very obvious that they had set some explosives on structural points on the wood, not the actual stone,
mm-hmm.
to just bring down all of that sort of side on someone. But this side, it does appear to be like untrapped living space.
Nice.
So going through, let's say you have a search round, you're just keeping an eye out for traps.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the lid off one of the barrels, you see it full to the brim of gunpowder.
Mm. Stuff.
Proper full to the brim of gunpowder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Good thing we chucked in the Thunderstone.
Really is, and I shout out, I don't know what kind of idiots these guys are. There was gunpowder and someone set fire to it. Idiots. And then I go back.
Yeah.
I frown at Zolf. I don't say anything, but I know.
Looking at you going, awfully foolish of them, isn't it?
Yeah, there's multiple barrels of explosives. You open one crate and it's got short swords, some more of those cuirasses. The discarded clothes of the waiters
right.
is also sort of draped over something. And yeah, there's a couple of crates arranged around like that very controlled cooking fire.
Mm-hmm.
And having a search around, underneath one of them, you pull out a battered little notepad.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any writing on it whatsoever. It is just a battered notepad. You can skim through, obviously, inside if you want.
I will flick through, because if it's mechanical stuff, it's probably the right thing.
So flicking through, you find a weird scrapbook. Give me... what knowledges do you have?
Only local. So unless it's like a guidebook.
Okay, fair enough. No, fair enough. Do you not have appraise?
Yes, I'm very good at appraising.
I realise that.
I've been opening all the episodes. I just didn't think of notebooks or something.
Give me an appraise check.
Ooh. To be fair, I needed that for statistics. That's how statistics work. I need to get one sometime, and I'm glad it's on a book.
Not yeah. Right.
So 2 plus 8, 10.
10, okay. So, yeah, skimming through.
It is a book.
It's peculiar. It's like half diary, half a couple of work notes in margins and things like that. Skimming through, you see there's a shard of metal which is taped to one of the pages, which is the exact walling that the simulacrum had.
Right.
Going through, you see there's like personal messages. There's an origami swan, which is just kind of taped to a page and stuff. It just seems to be a scrapbook of
Edison is a
stuff. Yeah.
Or it's homages to Blade Runner. I mean, that's the other.
Honestly, it's just this weird mishmash of stuff. I mean, if you want to go into more depth, I can bring up everything that's written in there, but you'd have to sit down and go, okay, what's this saying? What's this saying? But yeah, it just reads like half diary, half scrapbook. It's peculiar.
It is not the kind of... Well, I mean, I'm interested in devices, but right now I'm in a rush.
Sure.
I think so, because they're all outside, aren't they, while I'm doing
you
this.
Definitely, though, see at some point there's a couple of sketches of like what looks like a cross section of the head,
uh-huh.
With like certain bits and then scribbled out bits. It's a real mess, by the way. It's very much not the public plans that anyone would have been looking for.
So I guess if this is the notebook, then I take that and scan for stuff that I like, because that's the sort of thing Sasha does. Mm-hmm. But then I just join you guys outside?
To mention slightly out of character, he did also mention there were blueprints.
Oh, but that's... Okay.
Unless I missed
it. No, he said the plans had
been
taken.
Didn't he say Jeremy left with the plans?
Ah.
Did I overhear that? I can't remember.
Yes, you did.
I did hear that.
I assume that you're then telling them that.
Yes, I will mention that.
So I will... if there's nothing else for me to nick, I will head off.
There's a few things here and there. There's scraps of food and things. But honestly, it seemed like they were wearing upon them most of the things that you were interested in anyway.
The thing is, I have absolutely zero money. Like, zero. Mm-hmm. So even a few coppers on the floor I would pick up.
Rogues tend to be equipment rich. You find, let's say a couple of coppers. But
yeah, enough for some jellied seals.
Jellied seals? I'm pretty certain
much
that might
bigger.
Be a silver.
Much harder to carry around a jellied seal.
The dogs go crazy.
Oh, yeah, like that's
once
a minus...
Once a dog...
That's a minus 20 on a will save.
Once a dog's eaten jellied seal, they don't work,
never
work
goes
back,
back
to jellied eel.
Once you've gone seal, you never go back.
Yes.
Apparently so.
I come out, I climb out and say hello to these guys again. Hey, I pass the notebook to you.
What's this?
It's the thing that they came for.
Right.
This is what they got. There's no simulacrum or nothing.
Take a brief flick through.
No pieces of the
nothing.
Thing.
Right.
Just that.
Nothing. Well,
there are two other buildings here that there might be things in. There is definitely stuff in the other.
Wait. Do not there might head still be in traps. To the. Do not head in. I'll do that.
Do what?
There's traps on that building.
Which building? There are two.
The hut.
Right, thing on stilts?
Yeah.
Oh, right, there might be traps on both of them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, we've dealt with it. Let's have
that's
a look at our list.
Of course, that you believe the guy. He never sense-motived him.
Well, that's true.
Let's have a look around at our leisure.
Wait, maybe you guys should not. Well, that, okay, last okay. Time
I'll rephrase. Sasha, go check for traps.
Right, boss. I go,
technically, yes.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest. I mean, I think... I don't think it's you. I think Zolf's just a bit annoyed that he didn't get to drown anyone today.
I will go and check traps on the one that is nearby.
The vicarage.
There, the vicarage.
Sure. Yeah, you poke your head in. I'm not even going to get you to do a trap check. We'll say that you checked for the door for traps. You did not find traps. But looking inside, you find what looks like there used to be a trap on the door that just the damp has destroyed. All of the sort of bits of it have just started to corrode and it just didn't go off. Whoever set this did not know what they were doing.
Amateurs. I'm losing respect for the guy that jumped off the church roof. Did you see that jump, Hamid? Oh.
But yeah, looking
it was pretty cool.
It was, yeah.
Looking around, you see there's a couple more sealed crates that you can't just open by hand. And there is still one more crate which has yet more weapons in. Some short swords, there's a shield, there's actually a couple of spears. And
I'll go, once she's given the all clear, I'm going to come in and help. The search.
Yep, I tell you guys, right, that one's take what you want from that. Maybe see if there's anything magic.
I cast detect magic, just in case.
Yeah, it's all mundane.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna check this one.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna say you know that there is a trap on the door. As you sort of start to just have a poke around, even without attempting to disable it, you know it's of a significantly higher quality than the others, and you can disable device it, but you are going to be like, ooh, that's not just a 2 minute, you know, snip and
right.
Done.
Well, what's the take 10 thing?
Or 20.
Or 20.
Well, that's if there's no pounds.
You can't do that with traps because if you roll too low, there's a chance you fail at least once, which would set the trap off. A 20 is assuming that you fail multiple times.
Right. Okay.
So you could do it for a lock. Unless that lock is paired to, say, a dagger that falls from the ceiling and stabs you in the head, say, or whatever.
Right. Sure. I'm going to go for it. I mean, I'm feeling pretty pumped about my roguey skills today, possibly to a dangerous degree.
Go for it.
Roll the dice that gives 20s.
Oh, yeah.
It's that one.
23, 24.
Okay, so that's a 23 total.
Yep.
Give me a follow-up reflex save.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah.
13 plus
6,
19.
19?
Yep.
Right. You open the door.
Yeah.
There's a... At which point, you see a vial of alchemist's fire drop right in front of your eyes. And we'll go super slow-mo with it. The vial starts dropping. And we have that... You know that focus thing you get in film where you look at the thing close up and then you look beyond it? You look at that, and then you look beyond to there's loads of vials of alchemist fire hanging across the ceiling, and at least 50 barrels of gunpowder are lay up around the walls and stacked in there.
What?
With your reflex save, you manage to close the door, you go don't manage to catch the fire or anything, and just throw yourself backwards. Yep. The entire hut just explodes. Just... I would say...
What does it do to the church?
Yeah. So, everyone spell out exactly where you are at this moment. Sasha, obviously, you're throwing yourself back as far as you can.
I'm with the prone guy.
Mm-hmm.
So am I. Okay. So is the dog.
Good.
I'm in the vicarage.
So, everyone within 30 feet is going to be taking a flat 2d6 plus 4... damage.
Oh, even more.
No, even throwing it closed. If you had failed your reflex save, you would have been taking significantly more.
Right.
This is mostly from shrapnel and stuff, and we'll get into what happens to the rest of the compound afterwards. So
that's
I
not
will
a trap,
be rolling.
That's a massive explosion.
I will be rolling your damage.
Oh, right.
So if I can get another one, thank you. So that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 damage.
I am unconscious.
Yeah. doesn't surprise me. So there's a huge explosion. The last thing you remember is basically the whole door just breaking into pieces, flying at you, and you blacked out. The rest of you, there is an enormous explosion. Hamid, you get a moment to see the blast wave coming towards you before it hits the vicarage and the entire roof just caves. You guys hear the boom.
Are you absolutely sure that Bertie hears the
boom? We'll say it's got a nice little resonance with your armour.
I swear somebody threw a stone at me.
At which point...
Two people have just hit gongs on either side of your head.
At which point, the far side of the church caves in first, and the whole thing starts to cave in, and then the side that is nearest you guys blows out. But can you give me a reflex save?
16. 14.
Okay. Bertie, you take 2 shrapnel damage.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, effectively just the front of the church blows out. The whole thing doesn't topple on you, it falls back in on itself, but it throws both of you up against the wall, and then both of you are prone.
What about the unconscious fella?
The unconscious fella is thrown straight up against the wall, and he's just in a heap at the base of the floor, at the base of the wall.
Still having a good day.
Oh, yeah. I'll check the guy who's prone. Is he bleeding again? Or is
he's
still...
begun bleeding again.
Stabilise him.
Yeah.
Great horizon. Right, Bertie, you look after him. I'll go find Sasha. Sasha! Sasha!
And we'll close there. Ooh, end of episode. Enormous explosions. Action, rooftop drama. Professional.
Tune in next week to find out which of our heroes survives.
So, yeah, that's a bye from all of us. See you guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. Test, test, test. Yeah, good.
Test. Ah! Yeah. Savior of the universe.
I enjoy that test was basically, oi! Oi! Wake up! You good?
Steve!
Yeah, nice.
Steve!
Steve! Steve!
Yeah, Steve's there. So, okay.
Blow upwards through your nose.
I realise it's a weird one. It's just...
like a whale!
Yeah. It's my podcasting blowhole. It's all I use it for.
It's for casting to the rest of the pod.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
That's what I was going for. No one got me except for James.